Funnily enough, I started as a striker. I was banging them in.
It's always the way. It's always the opposite end of the pitch. They always start at the opposite end of the pitch. It's madness.
I feel like as a back four, you can be more solid. You're not as vulnerable because sometimes your wing back might go, if you're playing back three, wing back goes and you don't have enough time to get out to the winger for the opposition team. You could get caught out, and I think you've got to be very, very good, especially in possession in a back three. Clean sheets, win league titles, and they win your game. So,
yeah,
I think that's the most important thing.
Hello and welcome to the High Press Podcast. It is season 2, episode 40 in the fours now. Rob, how do we feel about 40 episodes on the High Press for this season?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, decent.
Good numbers. A lot of commitments gone into this series, so we hope it's produced a certain type of listenership, and we're certainly sure that today will as well, as we welcome our final Worcester City guest for this series in defender Fortune Mofosa. Fortune, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're very good, thank you. Very, very good. We're eager to get going with the episode today, and we're going to jump straight into our starting 11 segment. So for anyone who doesn't know, this is a segment where we throw 11 quick fire questions at our guest today, of course this being Fortune. This or that question is just a bit of lightheartedness to get the episode underway, and I will hand over to my co-host Rob to kick off the proceedings for said segment.
Thank you very much. Straight in, what team do you support?
Unfortunately, Man United.
Yeah. As a United fan, I'm wearing a United kit today. I've done that well.
Yeah, well, it's a bit mad wearing that one right now, isn't it?
It's all over the shop. It's probably no relation to Man United, really, but I've only just saw on my phone that Haaland's practically here we go from Fabrizio this evening, which is, wow. I mean, they're going to be a strong side next season if they weren't already.
Got a long way to go. A long way.
Yeah. Oh, very long way. I think Champions League has to be the aim for you next season, surely. I think you can write off titles this early.
Yeah, forget about that.
Moving on to the second question. Rob's a Villa fan. I'm a West Brom fan. I'm going to ask you to choose Aston Villa or West Brom.
Aston Villa.
Yeah.
110%,
What's your reasoning?
Because one of my good friends... plays for him.
Gave
me a top as well for my birthday last year. Nakamba.
So
that's probably the reason why as well. And obviously, I do like the way they were playing. I think it was not this season, the season before.
I enjoyed their football.
So, yeah.
I'm disappointed, but you have your reasoning. So we'll let it slide under the carpet.
Nice. Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation 100%.
Yeah, that's the one.
Nice one.
If you discovered a country, what would you name it?
Ooh. Fortune's Island.
Wow.
Wow. Good fortune, maybe.
Exactly. Fortune's Island. There's a lot of gold there, isn't it?
Yeah. That's very good, actually. I like that. Yeah, nice. Who is your favourite artist or band?
Ooh. I'd say my favourite, Michael Jackson. Greatest of all time. So,
can you move like Michael Jackson or?
I wish. I want to.
Can you dedicate your next goal, whatever team it might be, hopefully Worcester, can you dedicate your next goal towards the podcast and do the moonwalk for us as your celebration?
You know what?
I would pay good money to see it.
Do you know what? Obviously, I haven't scored in a long time. I've always had like a celebration, a sort of a dance. But I've not got the chance to score, so...
We won't ask you what it is because it'll ruin the surprise, but I'll be looking out for it. what is your favourite hobby outside of football?
What do I like doing? I like, obviously, I like to listen to a lot of music. So I like doing a lot of things within music. And also I like to like go out with my mates and that, you know, apart from football, you like to be out. Then again, when it sort of is a football coaching, I like coaching because I do a bit of coaching as well. And I enjoy that a lot. So.
What sort of level do you coach? What's your involvement there?
Oh, it's just like it's actually quite a new business for my mates. We just started one. And it's just at the moment, we're just coaching kids from ages from 5 to around 15. And we're just basically just doing one-to-ones and obviously helping them progress.
Good. Oh, that's a good cause, mate. Well in that. Well in.
Nice one. A favourite all-time player?
Rooney.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You're unexpected. Yeah. It's a bit of a tug of war between Rooney and Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm, yeah, okay.
They're the two reasons why you support United. To be fair,
yeah,
fair play. Yeah.
How old are you, Fortune?
22.
Okay, so you're a similar age to us. So you're like me, 20. So yeah, absolutely. That United team that you would have grew up on, like your Tevez, your Berbatov, Rooney, joke. Ronaldo. Just you can't be beaten, in my opinion. In English football, it can't be beaten. There's a question here that Rob's put in, and I'm not sure if you do this knowingly that he's a United fan or not, but Fabio or Raphael?
Raphael.
Got to be Raphael. Fabio barely played.
But then again, you never knew who was playing. Probably got the tops wrong.
Yeah, true.
Raphael. Who's more consistent, I think.
Nice. What is your favourite horror film?
Ooh. Do you know what? I'm not much of a horror person. If I watch a horror film, someone has to be there with me. Otherwise, I can't do it. Horror film. I'd say Conjuring. I watched that a few times.
I'm
the same. Never a horror film, and certainly never at darkness. I once made the mistake of going to a cinema and watching a horror film and coming out at like 11:30. Yeah, I didn't sleep well. Moving on. What is the worst place that you could get stuck? Or where is the worst place you get stuck?
Worst place I get stuck. That's a hard one. I do know recently I've been watching a lot of like survival videos and I think I'd do well on an island.
Okay. So yeah.
That would be a bad place to get stuck. But I'd say probably a lift. I'd say a lift 100%. Okay.
Lift's a common answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
What if you got stuck on Fortune's Island? I guess he wouldn't be too bad.
He's winning.
Yeah. I'm winning on that. I'm living on that.
Yeah. Nice. And last question. Would you rather visit the past or the future?
Ooh. I'd say the future.
My answer that is.
Why would you say the future over the past?
Can't change the past. Past is what makes you, innit?
Mm.
So, yeah. I agree with that.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, that is the end of our quick fire round. Hopefully we know a bit more about Fortune now. Hopefully our listeners do. And maybe Fortune has learned a little bit about us. Who knows? But we'll move on to our main segment, which is Target Man. We've titled this Target Man because we're targeting the guests that we've got with some questions that we've got. I'm sure Fortune could probably do a job of being a Target Man up there as well if we're losing a game by the odd goal or two. But we're going to move on to the questions about Fortune's career now. And before we do, let me ask you, Fortune, how did you start playing football? How did you get into it as a young kid? And then talk to us about that. How progressed into playing at a certain level, maybe?
Okay, so I started when I started quite later than everyone else. I was about 10 years old when I started playing. It was literally just a case of everyone in my school at the time, all my mates played football for a team. And I went to like a few teams who were quite like a high level. Mm. And I couldn't even like kick a ball properly straight. And that sort of like motivated me. And I joined like one of the, I think it was probably the worst team at the time in the scene, in Coventry. In the bottom league, and they were finishing bottom of the league every single season. And I joined them. And that's where it really started. And I was playing there, just enjoying it, playing with my mates. And obviously, I was on the chubbier side. So as soon as I did start getting to know how to like kick a ball properly, I was scoring goal kicks and all sorts. So I wasn't complaining.
Well, it's interesting because we have a lot of people, Rob, on the podcast who often say, you know, I started at a really young age, like as soon as I was born with the ball at my feet. But it's interesting to have someone on who maybe was more of a late start. So I know for me, like you know, football was very, very early thing in my life. I've never been able to play as well as I would have hoped. But in terms of following the sport anyway, it's always been at a young age. It's always interesting to have someone on who started maybe a little bit later and has maybe got a later appreciation for it.
Yeah. I think that's another thing. Obviously, watching everyone else and what they could do and scoring goals, just as a young
spurred like, you kid on. Well.
Yeah, exactly. Just kept pushing me on. I thought, yeah, I can get back and do that. And yeah, so
brilliant. Nice, and it's not on the questions that we've got to here, Fortune. But in terms of position, obviously, I know there's not a position as such when you're maybe that age. But has it always been the case that you've been a defensive player, or have you fancied yourself a little bit more going forward?
Funnily enough, I started as a striker. I was banging them in.
It's always the way. It's always the opposite end of the pitch. They always start at the opposite end of the pitch. It's madness.
Yeah, I was started as a striker because I was bigger than everyone else. So they just thought, stick him up top, he'll score a few goals. And then I started to move back when I was getting a bit older. So I went back into centre mid, played there. I still play there now, to be fair, but I haven't got the chance to see me there yet. And then I started to go back further to centre back as I start to like move up the leagues.
Very good. So, yeah. And obviously, you know, you mentioned there you're a striker coming back. As someone, and maybe this is a bit more of a thoughtful question, maybe in the sense of what would you class as the most important aspect of being a defender from someone who has maybe played a bit further up the pitch? And obviously still young in your career, but what do you consider the most important aspect of being a defender?
I'd say it's quite simple, but keep the ball out of the net.
At all
cost. Like, the more clean sheets you have, the more chance you have winning a game and to winning leagues. And obviously, again, for example, this season, Worcester, we did it well for a period where I think we went like 7 to 10 games with clean sheets.
Yeah.
And obviously, when we started letting them go in, you could see that the results started to drop a little bit. And that's sort of like, again, clean sheets win league titles and they win your game. So I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Good answer.
Yeah. And what would you say, sort of coming off the back of that, what would you say is the importance of having that, you know, the defensive unit of you, you know, you your centre-back partner and the keeper? How important is it that you build a good relationship with almost like that kind of back three unit?
Yeah, I think that obviously you need a bit of longevity playing with each other. So getting to know, for example, getting to know like who's the sweeper, who's the naturally that. I think that all comes naturally there. Who's the sweeper, who will go up for the header, where to be, how the keeper, if he's going to play out, if he's going to go long. I think it's just having that on a consistent basis of you're playing 10, 15, 20 games in a row together as a partnership, all three of you. And yeah, I think that comes with consistently just playing together. When it's chopping and changing, that's when it can get a bit difficult because you're changing players and certain player profiles are different to others. So,
Yeah, and how important is it as well to have a goalkeeper you can trust that you're playing in front of? You know, to give you, does that give you confidence as a defender to think, you know, if the ball comes past me, say that, the keeper's probably got that. Does it improve how you play then going forward and defending?
Yeah, 100%. I think when you when you're playing and you know that if you do make a mistake and you really believe that your keeper will get you out of it, when you've got that sort of belief, I think that it is. Yeah, it's good to know that when you're playing because you know in a game where you can make 2-3 mistakes which could lead to goals and your keeper saves. Two of them we could win you the game, and to know that, especially like this season, we had Adam in, who's terrific for pretty much the whole season. You just knew even if they did get in, he'll probably save it. Even though at times we don't want them to get in, but you still had that belief that yeah, the ball won't go in the net.
Yeah, does it lift a little bit of pressure then? Would you say on you possibly?
Yeah. Because obviously you don't want to make mistakes, but it's football. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. But the pressure is all, especially in the league that we're in, the pitches aren't great. So anything could just drop, bobble, and it's a mistake, and it's a goal for the other team. So there's always a lot of pressure, I think, then.
Nice. And going back, say, towards, well, not particularly towards the start of your career, but even now, do you have any footballing idols that you look up to and maybe to aspire to be?
I'd say probably one of, like, again, Rooney, Ronaldo. I've always looked up to them in terms of the way they played. Rooney was just tenacious all over the pitch. And that sort of mindset I want to get into, just always 110% every week. Cristiano Ronaldo is 37 years old now and he's still banging them in the Prem. So you can see how mentality is a massive thing in football. Yeah. And obviously, like, from a defender's point of view, Rio Ferdinand, because he was a very modern defender. And and obviously there's another midfielder as well I looked up to a lot, which was Busquets. Because I love the way he plays. It's so simple, but it looks so good. It's pleasing to that. And I think that's a proper footballer there. So
Yeah, he's very, very underrated, Busquets. I think he doesn't get the recognition. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was like the base, wasn't he, for that midfield, Xavi and Iniesta. Yeah. That they didn't have to worry about defence. You know, they could create art in front of him because he would be, you know, keeping it solid at the back. There you go, nice. So how would you describe yourself as a player then?
I'd say I'm quite an aggressive player. I'd say that I'm tenacious. I'd say that I'm quite a ball player and I like to play with the ball. I'd say they're probably like my three biggest things. And obviously I'm quite powerful, athletic. And yeah.
You've got a shot on you, that's for sure. There's been numerous occasions this season whereby I think you've probably been the most comfortable of the centre-backs that we've had this season, in the sense of having that freedom to come out a little bit out of defence. You know, a lot of teams would have played quite defensive football against Worcester last season. And I think you were the one, when you're on the pitch, to come out and with the ball and almost force a team to, you know, come out of their system a little bit. Is that something that you've had in your game for a while, in terms of have you always wanted to progress with the ball rather than sort of play it safe and knock it to a midfield player? Have you always had that confidence to be able to approach the halfway line and beyond if you need to?
Yeah, I've always been like that since I started playing, especially at the back. I wasn't given that sort of license as well by the managers that I've worked with, because they know I can do it. So there's no point in me sitting back when I can do that. Yeah. And it's just always something I've always had. And obviously, sometimes when I do catch it right, it can sometimes end up being a decent goal.
It can. It certainly can.
Very nice. So let's just say, you know, either way, you have a good game or a bad game. How do you judge your own performance after a game?
Obviously, you look at the result. And if you ain't got... Then again, sometimes the result doesn't really say everything. Because there's been times where we've won 5-6-0, and I still think that I've not really played great. And like, for example, as you said earlier about having that confidence, you know, Adam's going to save it. There's been times where I think we won like 6-0 one game, but I didn't have a really good game. I think it was the Bewley game. I didn't think I played that well, because they had a lot of chances, Bewley as well, that game. And it's just things like that. When a man gets past me, I just hate it. Hate chasing numbers. So yeah, I sort of, like, after the game, I look at the result and I also look at what I could have done there, the mistakes that I made, how many mistakes did I make? Did I cover my centre-back? And so stuff like that. Did I cover my full-back on the other side? Should I have said that? Communication. So I just look at all the little aspects of the game, whether we win or lose.
Okay. And do you also get feedback, say, from others, from other players or the management team?
Yeah, definitely. Like, every time, especially with the... I think that at Worcester were quite, like... blessed to have Mike and Tim, especially because they know, like, the players that they've got, they know what they can bring out, and they try to bring out the best out in you. And they're always, when you've made a mistake, they'll tell you about it. Same as other players, like especially the senior players like Robbo, Joe, and I. When you've made a mistake, they'll let you know about it, but at the same time they'll encourage you so that you can make sure that you don't make that mistake again, basically.
Yeah, good. That's always good for development as well for yourself.
Yeah.
Nice. So talking about your career now as well, talk to us a little bit about your time at Tamworth. I think you mentioned already at Coventry and at Warwick as well.
Oh, yeah. I've said my non-league journey started when I was at Tamworth because I played there in the youth team. I joined there from Coventry United, where I played from under 15s to around under 16s. Okay. I went in Tamworth youth team, where Mike was the academy manager, Mike Fowler.
Mm.
And I think that year I did really well. And then I had the opportunity because obviously there was another, the manager at the time was Andy Morrell. Went and like he was in a, like a sort of a full time, sort of like first year pro sort of role. So after I finished my scholarship at Tamworth, I went there. It was called the Players Academy. So it was a bit like I don't know if you remember the Nike Academy. It was similar to that. We like lived at the digs and got paid play full time up in Stoke-on-Trent, which was really good for me because I got to play with players who, obviously at Tamworth, you know, the youth team, we had good players, but then the players that had never really played academy football or been in that sort of environment. And I got to play with players who have played at like Chelsea, Leicester, Coventry City, players who have been released, Northampton, players from all over the country, Reading. So I think that upped my game a lot more. And then unfortunately the chairman there passed away like halfway through. So I think his family stopped funding it or something like that. And so it sort of got scrapped. And then I went back to Tamworth, which I got the opportunity to play in the first team there quite straight away. I played there quite a few games, to be fair, got the opportunity. And yeah, that's where we started playing centre mid there. So, and then after that, when the season came to an end, I had trials at some little league club. And that didn't work out. So I came back into non-league and I went and joined Alva Church.
Yeah.
I went there for a bit. But as soon as I got there, when I signed on, the manager about 3 weeks later, I got sacked. And the new manager came and didn't even know who I was. So it was a bit tough there to play. So I thought, I'm not going to just waste my time sitting on the bench. Mm. And then I gave it a go at Nuneaton. I think this was the COVID season. The kid got short. Yeah. When I did start to come around and start playing games, COVID came about. So that season was scrapped. And then I was sort of like realistic with myself because I weren't starting many games in the Nuneaton. But so the next season I thought, let me just see what I can do, go somewhere else and where I'm guaranteed game time and play like 35, 40 games in non-league and just see where I go from there. So I joined Racing Club Warwick in that summer. And again, but then COVID season got cut again quite early on. I think we only played about 5-6 games. Yeah. And then played Worcester and come Worcester.
Yeah. Wow. So you've had quite a lot of, maybe not, you know, necessary planning experience, but a lot of experience in going to other clubs. Yeah, I suppose you've been a part of a lot of dressing rooms and learned a lot from different characters, I guess, because as someone who's still young in their career, I think it's important to, you know, no player wants to be at loads of different clubs, but, you know, at this level, I think it's probably good to get a feel for the clubs and different characters in the dressing room, because I think it can help shape your career. It's not all about on the pitch, it's about your characteristics off the pitch as well. And I think being in many dressing rooms, you can pick different traits off people, can't you? Those different clubs, you would have been able to do that.
Yeah, 100%. I think from every dressing room I've been to, it's been very different, like complete difference. Like, especially like when I look at the Racing Club Warwick, when I was there, we had quite a young team. So I was looked at probably as one of the senior players because I was probably one of the older ones. And I wasn't even old, years old with a really young team there. And when I come to the Worcester ones, totally different because I'm not one of the older ones there. The thing at Tamworth, I was one of the young ones there, and they were just all the players that were quite experienced. They've played in leagues and they've played in big games and had long careers in non-league, and I was the young one. They've never played a game in non-league, so yeah. So you just learn, you pick up little things from everyone, and you learn a lot off every single player that you play with and play against, and yeah.
Yeah, no, valid point you make, and you mentioned there you ended there quite fittingly. You'll move to Worcester, and as a podcast that does quite frequent interviews with Worcester players, it'll be interesting to get a bit of insight in terms of your move to Worcester, really. So talk to us how your move came about in September 2021.
Yeah, so I started obviously with a game. I was at Racing. The manager that was there left Racing, and the game that we played Worcester, it was literally we had a new manager in, and it was sort of like the team was just changed. There was not many players that stayed on. Some players were not playing and stuff, so it was just a bit all upside down there. And then obviously that game I played against Worcester. I think I played quite well, to be fair. And then obviously I knew Mike and from before, and he was assistant at Worcester at the time. And then after the game, I think a few days later, they were just like, they put in the 7 days and said, yeah, we want you to come in and basically play for us. And yeah, that's how it pretty much come about.
I think your arrival coincided with Jonah's unfortunate injury, didn't it? Which, of course, you know, you wouldn't wish in, you know, an injury on anyone, but that really sort of gave you a platform to be able to play regular football at sort of a decent non-league level. Reflecting on your season, Fortune, how would you, you know, obviously you had a short spell back at Tamworth in the season. We'll come to that in just a sec. But looking at your season as a whole, how do you feel like the season went for not just Worcester, but also for yourself personally?
I think for... me personally, I think it didn't go as well as I wanted it to. In terms of, obviously, I played a lot of games, but I think I could have played a lot more. And it's obviously coming the season without anything, without a trophy, without a medal, it's the worst. And yeah. That's really been the letdown this year. I think that as a group this year, we know that we should have done better. But at the same time, we do have a really young squad. And to finish fourth in a league like this, I think it's the toughest league, probably, if you look at all the steps. So to finish fourth and be up there, it is bittersweet because I think we did do well. But at the same time, we just, at crucial moments this season, we just let ourselves down a bit and didn't push on. I think we could have gone up if we pushed on a little bit more. So I think it was a good learning curve for the squad as a whole, but at the same time, it was a bit of a disappointment one.
Yeah, of course. And I think that, as I'm sure you're aware, obviously Worcester's had its up and downs in the last few years. And I think for a lot of supporters, it will be a season whereby they can look back with a lot of positives, because for a large portion of the season, I'd say Worcester were up there in terms of challenging for those top spots. I think they can see a progression. I think the way in which team wants to build the team, I think they can see a real sort of positive playing style, which the supporters are getting behind. And it must be, you know, good to be part of potentially what is a really, really exciting project there.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the players that we have here are just, if you look at our attacking force that we have, it's a joke.
It's a joke for that level.
It's a joke. And, sometimes you can have me or Robert going up top, so it's not too bad as well. because I remember when, I think it was the COVID season that got cut short, I was looking, I was like, Worcester, they're quite a big club. Obviously, I didn't know much about Worcester back then, but I was seeing them like quite a big club. They're not doing so well. But this year, I could tell that there was a different feel, because every game that we played, you could tell there was more and more fans coming to each game, away, home and away. And you could see that, maybe we are playing well, we're winning games. And it was just a bit, it was sad that obviously we didn't give them the cup win and the get promoted as well, which was really annoying.
Yeah, and I mentioned there, obviously, you had a brief spell back at Tamworth on a dual registration, I think in November, correct me if I'm wrong, and obviously returned to Worcester a short period of later. Explain a little bit about that, because obviously You've got links with Tamworth, as you say, previously in your career. It would have been an opportunity that you wouldn't have been able to turn down based off that, and obviously to play at a higher level, of course. What, talk to us about a little bit about the move, and if there was any regrets, you know, how did the move go? Obviously, you were there for a short period of time, so was there anything that you sort of take away from that move?
Yeah, it was at Telford.
Sorry, I do apologise. Yeah. Do apologise. I'll put Tamworth on my notes. It was Telford, you are right.
So... obviously, the manager that obviously started my whole non-league journey, he was at Tamworth, and then he got the job as an interim at Telford.
Yes.
And then he wanted me to go play for him. And so obviously, it did take a couple of weeks for it to get sorted because there was just a lot going on. But as soon as, at the time, I just thought it was a really good opportunity to me. Right now, I think at the time, I was in really good form. So I thought, I'm playing well, so I just might as well give it a chance. And obviously, he was playing with obviously a higher, like three steps higher. And it was when I went, especially when I was training, like the players, like they had very good players, so I could learn a lot of the players that were there. Mm. And I thought, I think it would be a good move to see what it's like, and try to push myself and see where I'm at and see where I can get to. And then 2 weeks in, they get a new manager. And so it was just a bit, it wasn't a bit, like, I thought I've been realistic with myself. I thought, again, Tim was there, the manager, Kaffer was there saying, look, you wanted me to come back and play. I'm 20, at the time I was 21, I'm going to be on the bench. I don't want to be doing it. I've done that at Neen, I've done that at Our Church. I was on the bench and it was not a good feeling to be on the bench. And I thought, let me just go, I'll play games. So I'm still young. And just go back and do what I was doing back before, basically. But obviously, it was sort of good because I seen the amount of trust and the trust that Tim had in me in terms of letting me go in first, giving me the opportunity to go, the opportunity again to come back. And at the time as well, we were winning games as well. So even when I was away for a bit, we were still winning games. That too, you know, that the manager has so much trust in you is really refreshing.
Okay, it's a bit more of a technical question about yourself. Do you prefer playing in a back four or in sort of like a back three? Or, I mean, have you played in a back three? Or is it all throughout your career? What do you prefer, basically?
I'd say a back four.
Mm. What's your reasoning?
I feel like you're just a bit more... protected, I think, especially with the fullbacks and the I just like feel like that's what I've played in most of my career, back four, or obviously I've played sometimes in like just in front of the back four. So I've always been I've always preferred it more because I feel like as a back four, you can be more solid. You're not as vulnerable because sometimes your wing back might go, if you're playing back three, wing back goes and you don't have enough time to get out to the winger for the opposition team. You could get caught out, and I think you've got to be like very, very good, especially in possession in a back three. And sometimes this league is, with the pitches, it is tough. Like a bubble will start a counter attack for the other team and it's with three. Like 3-1 or something stupid,
I get it now.
It all makes sense.
There you go. So do you set yourself targets before you start a season?
I always do look to set myself some targets. It's more of a collective target rather than an individual, because obviously you want to win things, especially this season. I wanted to come out and win something, and obviously we did not win anything, which is, again, very, very disappointing. But I always want to win trophies. I always want to get promoted and very do well. And obviously, personally, I'd want to play a lot of games and get as many clean sheets as I can. I always set my like target of maybe try to get about 20 clean sheets this season, because obviously it's hard, but... If you play 45, 50 games, it is doable. And so it's just things like that.
Oh, good. Nice. And is it all just in terms of clean sheets, or are there any maybe targets that are not, you know, just statistics? I'd say
obviously you set yourself targets in terms of progression, and moving up, and everyone wants to play at the highest level they can, so that's always a target, to just play well and get the right progression route in terms of my football career, because again, I'm still young, so I do want to go and play as high as I can. If I do have the opportunity and the right at the right time, then yeah, that's the target I would always have at the start of the season.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. That's good. And would you say there was one thing or a few things that you learned from the season just gone by with Worcester?
I learned quite a lot, because that's my first like full season done in like men's football. Because before I never really completed a full season from start to the end. Obviously COVID and I only started time from July around November time. So I think throughout this like the autumn time we were playing really good football because the pitches weren't bad. And then when the pitches did get bad, you couldn't play football anymore. But sometimes I think I made the mistake tried to play football when it shouldn't be played.
Yeah.
And I've learned to like manage games in that sort of sense, in terms of knowing when to play, when not to play, and making the right decisions. And you always got to be 110% focused. And I've learned that you need to be concentrated at all times, because you don't want to make mistakes losing a bit of focus will lose you a game. So yeah, I've learned that.
Okay, and just to pick up on something you said, it's your first full season in men's football. How have you found that yourself?
I think it's been good, because obviously physically, I've dealt with it, and I've always been quite big anyway, so it has not been a problem. But I think I've dealt with it quite well, but it's just that consistency, I think, which is which is what you look for. And sometimes at certain times of the season, I wasn't really consistent. And that's what I've learned, that you need to be on top of your game every single week, no matter the game, should be no any slacking. And yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people should take that in mind. You know, it's not to say obviously any indication on you or anything, but you know, say it is your first full season in men's football and you're still only young as well, to give you a bit of slack, you know what I mean, sometimes.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And the last question that we've got for you, Fortune, before we do let you go, is just a little bit really about what your hopes are maybe for next season and in terms of long term, so breaking that down a little bit to make the question a bit easier. So in terms of next season, obviously the season has just finished. What will next season look like for you ideally?
My next season, I'd like to get promoted, win the league if we can. I think that's just the most throughout the group. Obviously, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough, like really tough. But I think that season that just went by probably would be good for us. In terms of what we'll do next season. And I think that we will push on and be there, and it being in and around there within the end of the season. And with the quality we have, I do believe we can do it. And we should all believe. I think that's what we lack sometimes, a bit of belief.
Yeah.
And that's from me and some other players, and like as a team, sometimes we maybe lack that little bit of belief. Mm. And I think that's something that the management team will have drilled into us, and to just believe your ability and play football with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And I think that will sort of push us through next year, and we'll be better for it as a squad.
You answered that perfectly in terms of next season. In terms of long-term fortune, obviously, you know, we've said numerous times in this podcast that, you know, you're still a young player, you've still got a lot of ambition to try and go as far as you can in the game. I think you'll be the first to admit that you've been quite fortunate to play at such a some quite high levels in terms of non-league football. Where, you know, maybe realistically, but also in terms of, you know, if you want to put a dream into it, in the sense, where do you want to get to is what I'm asking, in terms of how high up the football pyramid can you see yourself getting?
I do believe that I could get into the Football League. I've been close to it, and if I get the right mindset and the right mentality, because I'm the first person to like be critical to myself if I play bad, yeah. And I know when I've played bad, and I think that is a lack of, maybe over the past few seasons, I've been a bit more, I think my mindset's not been as good because my confidence was really low before I started the season. Mm. But if I get that consistency and get that belief back into myself, I do believe I could get there. But again, it's not going to be easy. It's going to have to work hard and put my mind and sacrifice a lot to get there.
Yeah, I'm very honest with you. And that sort of concludes really our questions that we've got for you. You know, really appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your thoughts on the arts of defending, and also, you know, working from back to front a little bit. It's always interesting to hear those stories, and of course, yeah, you know, how you started so late out in the game, really. So before we say bye to your fortune, just want to say a massive thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing and being vulnerable with some of your answers, and hopefully you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure. It's been a
lovely
pleasure.
Oh, nice. Brilliant, very kind of you. Thanks very much, Fortune. We'll speak to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of the High Press Podcast. We really hope that you've enjoyed the episode today. We'll be really, really grateful if you could leave a review on your preferred podcast provider, whether that be iTunes or whether that be Spotify or Google or whoever it might be, just so people can find our episode a little bit more easily.
Yeah, and go ahead and follow us on our social medias at The High Press Pod. We're on Twitter and Instagram, where we're going to be announcing all of our guests, any updates, and just generally, that's where you can find us.
Right, thank you guys, and we'll see you soon.